It is the Brotherly Love podcast, and after a long hiatus, we're back, hopefully better than ever. A lot to catch up on the Philly sports landscape. I am Joe O'Donnell. He's John Mita. Thanks for listening as always. Johnny Mita, how's being a dad treating you?
Oh, being a dad, what a roller coaster ride. It's been the most, it's probably the greatest experience of my life, but sleep deprivation is real, as all you parents out there know, with an infant and newborn. But you know, we're on pace. She's about to go hit pretty soon. She's about to hit the daycare circuit, and then I hear a bunch of sickness comes our way. So I'm looking forward to that. Going to make sure I take my zinc, my vitamin C, and my selenium to make sure that, you know, I keep my immune system at a proper level. But no, it's been awesome just to see her smile and laugh and just think I'm the goofiest bastard in the world. There's nothing better.
Oh, she's just part of the crowd now.
That's it.
Be getting to the combine, do you think? When can we expect her to bench press?
I don't know. I mean, a father-daughter trip to the combine. I mean, if that doesn't, I don't think that's ever been done in the history, but if she's my daughter and loves sports as much as I do, never say never, you know. I kept making a joke with Marissa. I was like, you know, I was like, you know, talking, pretending that Marissa couldn't hear me. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come get you at school. We're going to do field trips. Like, you will not take our daughter out of school and just take, I need to know where you guys are headed, you know? Nah. And I'm like, one of those, like, nah, I want to be a cool dad. And they're like, hey, I'm going to come snatch you up. We're going to go do something cool. But who knows?
Hopefully one of those things is Jason Kelce's retirement speech in Canton in 5 years. But
I mean, I'm definitely
awesome or what?
I'd like to be there. I miss Dawkins as extenuating circumstances. You know, I was so sad that I missed Dawkins. You know, what is it? Enshrinement into Canton. Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
All right, we got a lot to get to.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time. So we are going to let around this thing for all of you out there. We're going to have a very special spread the love. We're going to go 4 for 4. We're going to hit every team. We're going to do it quick. But because the NFL draft starts tomorrow, and I would be like devastated if we didn't have the John Mita sleepers for the NFL draft. Now, most of you, by the time you listen to this, I get it. The draft might be in round 2, 3, 5, 7. We're over. But I want to give you a little draft love. So, Johnny Mita, the NFL draft starts tomorrow night. Round 1, the birds. Do they trade or do they stay pat in round 1?
Well, you know, Howie. I mean, you know, as much as he likes chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream, the guy just has a knack for doing NFL trades, especially trading up in the first round. Look what they did when they went up and got Brandon Graham. Everyone thought it was Earl Thomas, including myself here. And he gets Brandon Graham. The trade for A.J. Brown a couple years ago was a big splash. So if there's a player that they like, there's no doubt about it, they're going to try to go up and get that person. And who that player is, that's the biggest mystery behind door number 2, Joe, because there's been a lot of chatter. Do they go get Brock Bowers, who's a tight end from Georgia, who's an absolute stud pass catcher? You know, he can block pretty well. I mean, they even run him on reverses. He's so versatile. He's the closest thing that I've seen to Travis Kelce come out in the draft in I don't know how long. So, I mean, again, if you want to go greatest show on turf, if you had a guy like Brock Bowers, to what they did, you know, we didn't even talk free agency, but with Saquon Barkley, AJ, Devontae, I mean, that could be, they could probably average 40 points a game. And due to the health of Dallas Goedert, he's, you know, he's turning 29, 30. He's kind of at that level. Remember when Zach Ertz was getting up there, they drafted the Dallas Goedert was kind of a shock pick. So that's one thing to keep your eye on. Do they go another wide receiver? I mean, this draft is loaded with talented wide receivers. The speed guy from Texas, Xavier Worthy. I mean, there's a bunch of things, but you got to look at needs of the football team, and you definitely want to take best player available, but who knows? So for me, okay, I think cornerback is a huge issue. We all know James Bradbury's kind of cooked. He can't play anymore. We have Kaylee Ringo. The good news is Isaiah Rogers, the guy that they basically signed from Indianapolis and was suspended last year, the entire season for a gambling scandal. He just got reinstated by the NFL. He's more of an outside corner. So, but there are some good corners. Basically, the first corner.
They did bring back the brittle Avante Maddox on a team-friendly one-year deal.
Exactly. Which is, listen, I mean, when he's on the field, he's a significant player. But, right. You know, availability is huge, especially in the NFL. But as far as corners, there's two good corners out of Alabama. Tarion Arnold will probably be the first corner selected. The other guy's Kool-Aid, best name in the draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry. He was dealing with a foot injury, so his stock might fall. But the one guy I like the best is Kenyon Mitchell. I know he played at Toledo. I get it. And Sauce Gardner played at Cincinnati, and he's literally the best corner in the game. He did not give up a touchdown pass. This is a guy that I love. He squats 500 pounds. He runs like a 4.3. He's long. He's got great ball skills. He's physical at the line of scrimmage, and he tackles. I don't want any corners that don't want to tackle. Which then leads me to my next guy, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. You know, great cover corner, great ball skills, but doesn't want to get physical. You know, he'd rather, you know, he's like Bobby No Tackle and Taylor or Sonny Samuel.
No, thank
great
you.
Cover guy. I don't like that guy. Cooper DeJean, he is, you know, he's this corner who has, you know, physically at the combine, his pro day, very impressive. He can play either corner or safety. He'd be the first cornerback, white cornerback drafted since like since Jason Sehorn, which he has versatility. He will come up and hit. He's also a terrific punt return. He's a very intriguing prospect. He was one of the visits that the two visits I know for a fact that were on, you know, the Eagles, every team in the NFL gets a scheduled top 30. So your top 30 prospects that you have on your board, or maybe even after that, you can bring them into your facility. So I know Cooper DeJean was on the list, and he was only, that was only one of five visits he took as far as, cause he was late to the game, cause he was coming back after a foot injury. But, you know, the talk is they really like Kenyon Mitchell, and that's who I'd be in favor of. So if they're going to trade up, I think it's either Kenyon Mitchell. If they stay pat, I think at 22, then it's probably Cooper DeJean or Nate Wiggins. But, yeah, so that's the corner position. Obviously, we won't waste our time. I love linebackers. This team needs linebackers, but a couple of linebackers, again, and these are not going to be first-round picks, okay, everyone, because they haven't drafted one since the year I was born, Jerry Robinson, 1978, but even though I was 79. But you got Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M, stud, physical. He kind of plays like Devin White. He's very similar. And Devin White's on a one-year deal. You got Peyton Wilson out of North Carolina State, a very dynamic, can, you know, rush the passer, can go sideline to sideline, big plays, can intercept the football. He's the son. We got everyone's fan favorite, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. You'll be able to get him late. I'm thinking definitely be able to get him the 50s, if not the third round. Noah Gray's another decent linebacker out of North Carolina. So there is some talent there. And then we're going to go with the pick that everyone's going to go, wah-wah. But, again, we've done well with these types of picks. But offensive line, are they going to go up? And here's another need. Due to the fact that Jason Kelce retired, are they going to go up and get an offensive lineman? Because now you have Cam Jurgens. He's going to start at center. So the big question on the offensive line, and Elliot Shore Parks, Eagles beat reporter or whatever, he thinks right guard is their biggest need, which is – and then he says offensive right guard. I agree, he's like tore his head off. But so there's a couple offensive linemen that are very intriguing. Again, they come from my least favorite conference in the entire college football landscape, the Pac-12. But I'm going to butcher these names, and I can't wait to do it. Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. He's a versatile. He can play guard or tackle, physical, gets out, athletic as hell. Another great one is Troy Fontenot from Washington. Same type of carbon copy. These guys are versatile. They could play either guard and they could kick out. You got Lane Johnson. He probably has 2 to 3 good years left in the tank before he calls it quits and retires. If you're going to go tackles in general, I know they had Tyler Guyton in. He's an Oklahoma product. He knows Lane Johnson pretty well. That could be if they stay put at 22. If not, maybe they move back in the draft. Another intriguing prospect is maybe the first lineman off the board is J.C. Latham from Alabama. Again, he's got the versatility to play guard and tackle. Now, I think if they're going offensive lineman, they need somebody that could play multiple positions. And obviously, we had the best offensive line coach in football with Stoutland University. So I could see them making moves there.
I want to know position. If you're mm-hmm. handicapping positions in need before you go to the mm-hmm. side of the ball, give me the top three positions okay. you need. The Eagles have to come out with players at these positions in this draft.
Cornerback, number one. They definitely need more depth on the offensive lineman, considering if one of our major players goes down. So I go O-lineman two. And then I would go – I think we need a third – we need another wide receiver in case one of our outside guys go down. So I might even go wide receiver.
All right, yeah. I'm cool with that. All right, sorry to interrupt you.
I mean, everyone might say defensive line, and we need that due to the fact that Hassan Reddick. And there's going to be, again, edge rushers. That's the other defensive line that Howie, we love building through the trenches. Dallas Turner is probably the best pass rusher in the draft. Alabama, sick, very physical stud. Jared Verse from Florida State, who was a transfer, I think, of Alabama. Darius Robinson from Missouri, who I love, an absolute monster. He's like the good old cliche term, the old Swiss Army knife. You can play him inside and outside from Missouri, physical, fast runs. Chop Robinson from Penn State, another guy. And then the one guy from UCLA, I'll butcher his name, Latu or something. But he's an aspiring firefighter. So we don't even talk about
Grande
those kinds
Latte?
Of guys.
Grande Latte from Starbucks? Is that what you just called?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Don't give me anybody that's an aspiring firefighter in the first round. So help me God.
Danny Watkins.
Oh, yeah. But let's get through.
This is where Howie usually screws it up in that early 20s range. I don't need to go through that list of butchered draft picks.
Let's go sleepers.
Let's go.
I got a five piece. Let me give you a five.
Oh, five piece? All right.
Yeah, a little five piece. All right. Running back. I love the kid out of Kentucky, man. Ray Davis. He played at Temple. The kid's story, he was homeless. State of California. The kid made his own way. I think he'd be great. He's a physical running back, but he can also catch the football. He would be great to add to the backfield room. And I think we can get him in the fourth to fifth round. Another second round corner. Let's say we go O-lineman or we go something else, defensive line, the first round. Ennis Rakestraw Jr. from Missouri would be another great pick. Hopefully we can get him in that 50. We have two picks in the second round, 50 to 53. My favorite slot receiver in the entire draft, who comes from great NFL pedigree, the great Phil McConkey from the Giants, Ladd McConkey. I've been sharing Ladd McConkey videos. The kid's footwork is incredible, catches everything, has dynamic speed. I'm telling you, he's going to be like – he's like a Wes Welker 2.0, but to be – I'm making a call right now. He will be better than Wes Welker.
I can't another confirm, guy that comes I can't from, confirm I have received a YouTube highlight reel from John Mita of Ladd McConkey. Just want to throw that man. Out there. Like, is he Hunter Renfrow where a concussion and a major injury and he's toast?
I mean, listen,
Hunter Renfrow for a year and a half. I was riding that train with the Raiders.
No, I know. Listen, you worry about the kid's physical though, man. Like, I've seen him take shots in the SEC and he just pops right up like it's nothing. So I think he'll be fine. Another big wide receiver, NFL pedigree, the Luke McCaffrey from the Rice Owls. He could be another guy we could draft late, another to bring to the wide receiver route. Now that, God, I know everyone's shedding their tears that Quez Watkins is gone. But my biggest sleeper cornerback in the entire draft, and I know I hate to say it, comes from the Pac-12, Jabbar Muhammad from the University of Washington. If there's one thing that Washington produces, they produce a lot of NBA talent. They produce a lot of NFL talent. But the one thing you could say is cornerbacks from the University of Washington are generally pretty good.
All right.
But
good stuff on the draft. We got to jump.
Yeah.
Gotta jump on.
Yep.
Move on.
Let's jump. Yep.
Let's go to Fighting Phils. Off to their best start in like a dozen years. Starting rotation's been outstanding. Ranger Suarez, John Mita.
Woo! The Ranger.
25 innings without allowing a run is what I've been told. Somebody called me like 10 days ago, 12 days ago, was like, yo, what do you think about Ranger Suarez for the Cy Young? He's like 90 to 1. And I'm like, I love that. That sounds amazing. I'll Venmo you $10. Let's do it. What's Ranger Suarez at now, John Mita, to win the Cy Young?
+1500.
So 15 to 1 from like 90.
Yeah.
And what?
So he was literally
place
so,
that bet.
So all right. So here's the story. So literally start of the season, somebody's like, I heard a guy on the radio. I was like, huh. Bold prediction. I think Rangers going to win a Cy Young. You're like, yeah, okay, buddy. And then I looked at the odds and I'm like, oh, six. So he was +6,000. So what? 60 to one?
Yeah.
Right? Start of the season, 60 to one. So I'm
like,
ah.
90 to one, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, all right, let me take a look at this. So he has two good starts. He is wheeling and dealing. So I'm like, oh my God, he's still 6,000. So then after he wins his third start, I'm then sent to you. I go, he then goes from +6,000 to 4,500 after he wins his third game of the season.
That was a complete
right?
game shutout. Yeah.
Right. Then all of a sudden the money keeps moving every day. It goes down. I've never seen money move on a bet like this. I mean, to go from $6,000 to now it's +1500. I did put it in a +2500. So I'll give you, if we hit on this, dude, I'll break you off some shit.
You also put in way more money than I was willing to split with you.
Well, I mean, I know. I mean, I'll put you in there for 20.
You go big time, don't you?
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, you could go big or go home. I mean, you know? Something. I got to find a way to pay off these Eagles tickets. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding.
Well, how about this? I'm in for $25 of the $125 you put in, all right?
All right. Okay. All right.
So that's
sounds good.
All right, but the Phils overall, the bats are coming around. Rojas starting to hit. Harper's on paternity leave right now. But look, they're hanging with the Braves early. That's what we wanted. They're a couple games back.
Yeah.
There are a couple teams in the Central that are making a push for these other wild card bids. So it's a good thing the Phils didn't start 10 and 13 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because they'd be six games out of a wild card spot right now or whatever. So, but look, I can't. I've watched a little. I've listened probably more. I don't think I've sat down and watched the full game. I tried to watch all of opening day. I had to turn off in the seventh inning when the bullpen was imploding. I just couldn't do it to myself with 161 more games to go. But Nick Castellanos stinks. I'm tired of looking at him. He's a hate-the-face guy. I don't like his attitude. Baseball, man. It's baseball, bro. I'll get right out of it. I'll have a good May and June. I hate him. I'm done with him. I take him and his kid Liam, looks like a cute kid, see you never. And the fact that they still have, like, I think 2 more years left of this albatross at $25 million or whatever he's making, $20 million. Like,
yeah.
I can't handle. He's not that great of a fielder. He's not stealing bags. He doesn't get on base. And I swear to God, like, if I was a pitching coach for the other team and a pitcher ever threw anything that wasn't low and outside of that asshole Castellanos, I would pull the pitcher immediately. Send him down to AAA. Throw low and outside of this guy. He can't touch it. He's a bum.
Good point.
I'm done with him. I don't care about his 2 weeks of being hot, carrying a team. I don't care about his first half last year. I don't care about his diving catch against the Braves or the Astros or both. I don't care anymore. I'm done with him. I'm done with Nick Castellanos. Don't let me change my mind.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a rough go. And there's a couple players, I mean, that just started off just – you know, hitting so horrendously. The bright spot's been Johan Rojas. I mean, the guy's hitting 240, and we're hoping, geez, if he could just hit 225 on the season, play his defense, steal a couple bags, we'd be in good shape. But Castellanos, for the what he's getting paid, it's been an absolute disappointment. And, Joe, you nailed it on the head. I mean, my man chases the low and outside like no other. It's so frustrating.
Brandon Marsh, all-star. Book it.
And there's a guy, been a total bright spot. Like, Stott's kind of struggled, but Marsh, you know, what, second in home runs on the team? The guy's got to play every day, you know? I'm sorry. Like, he's handling left-handed pitching well.
Tomorrow night with round NFL draft, will I be watching the NFL draft or should I be watching the Sixers down 2-0?
Well, the good thing is
– I'll be flipping back because the Sixers
of
are
course,
be
man.
Making me want to pull my hair out.
Right.
And the Birds will be on the clock at some point.
Sure.
What have you made of games 1 and 2? I haven't watched a ton. It seems both games were winnable, John Mead, especially. I was high-fiving myself thinking, hey, this series is 1-1 coming back to Philly. We're in good shape. 25 seconds later, I didn't know what I just witnessed.
They were two winnable games at the Garden. And the biggest thing is when you get in these playoff series, the goal is if you are not the, you know, if you're the lower seed or what, and you got to go on the road, the key is in these first two games, you got to split. And what happened the other night, I mean, I've been watching basketball for years, and to see what the referees did to the Sixers was just, it was disgusting, Joe. It was just, it's like last 2 minutes, the Sixers are literally up. They were up 5 points with freaking 30 seconds to go in the game. Like, no team, especially at the NBA level, should lose that game. So Jalen Brunson,
unless you miss every free throw, and by the way, they didn't get any.
Right, right. And that's it. I mean, Joel Embiid's getting hammered. His jersey's getting tugged. I mean, the Knicks are playing a physical brand, and the referees are getting, letting them get away with murder. And then Jalen Brunson, as much as I love him because he's a Nova kid and, you know, just a legend, he's drawing fouls that aren't even fouls because he's, like, drawing the contact. Like, he'll jump into a player's and then launch something at the rim, and they're calling him. But he's bringing on the contact. It's not like the defender is going at him. But that it was an atrocity. Maxey gets his jersey held, then it gets thrown to the floor. Then they're calling the biggest thing from that game that Joe that really pissed me off, and I didn't know it at the time because everything happened so quick, you're not really paying attention to everything, is when Nick Nurse goes in the presser and said he signaled timeout twice, and the referees just blatantly ignored him. And I know, like, I've known a college basketball referee in high school, and they talk about, I was in the halftime of the game. I'll never forget. It was you know, Georgetown versus Rutgers, or George Washington versus Rutgers. And this basketball official was our PE teacher. And you hear him talking about situations. Well, this is the foul count. It's 7 fouls to 6 fouls that they have. We got to look out for this. As a referee, you know, like the team, right? The Sixers were up, what, 4 or 5 or 4 points in the last 5 points in the last, I guess it's 5 points in the last minute. You know, then Brunson hits the three, okay? So now they're down 2 points. Well, you know, they can just run the timeout. So you know they're going to foul. Like, the officials expect that the other team's going to foul even before the ball comes in bounds. And they also should expect that maybe the guy underneath that's inbound in the ball might have to call a timeout because they don't want to get a 5 second call. Like, so there's anticipation. The referee should know what's happening on the court. The one ref, he literally disappears from the screen like Casper the Friendly Ghost. And that's where Nick Nurse is, like, looking around. He would be the closest guy to call the timeout. Then Maxey was on the ground. So the NBA, make a long story short, the NBA comes out and basically literally says that they screwed up and the Sixers lost the game. So I don't know. The Sixers are filing a grievance. That will do absolutely freaking nothing. But maybe it sways some more calls in our favor to kind of level out the series. Because to be honest, I mean, it's just a joke, man. It's like, you just hate to see. I never want to blame games on referees, but that was so freaking egregious. There's only one conclusion to come to.
Would they be better off sitting Joel Embiid? Like, where's his team going with a hobbled Embiid? They can't go anywhere.
His eyes all jacked up. He took an elbow, and he's like, he's got sunglasses on. He might be dealing with concussion symptoms, or there's something going on with his eye.
You know, it's wearing thin.
No, I listen. I know, man.
Every year.
I know it's every year. But I mean, do they have a shot to win this series? They better win tomorrow night. They don't win tomorrow night, it's sayonara. I mean, if they go down 3-1, it's over. But they've never come back from an 0-2 series. Now, Nick Nurse has done it in his career. He actually did it in the Eastern Conference Finals when he won the title. I'm not saying it's over, but you know, other players need to step up. Buddy Hield, speaking of the witness protection program, yeah, Daryl Morey coming off saying, well, this is the greatest player at the deadline. He puts the fear in God. He's one of the most prolific three-point shooters, okay, in the history of the NBA. I mean, you look, he's got like 1,900 threes made. Like, the guy's nothing but a shooter because he can't defend. He can barely move. And right now, he hasn't thrown the ball in the ocean at all. Hasn't hit a three-pointer from what I remember. He's giving you absolutely nothing. He's not even shooting, which is even worse. You know, what happened to the line is shoot or shoot. He's not shooting for shit. So, anyway. Go Sixers? Did we get Go Sixers out of that whole rant, or
trust
what?
the process is what we got. I can't stand it anymore. I'm getting close to the move on from Embiid time. It's been real. Put up a statue at some point. Maybe gets into the Hall of Fame. But I'm tired of the woe is me. I'm tired of the bad body language. I'm tired of not stepping up.
Yeah, the bad body language is depressing. Now, listen, we all know that he's not 100%. And I don't know why he thought it was a good idea to self-serve himself off the backboard. I mean, listen, tremendous play. But with the fragility and, you know, knowing. But I can't knock him for it because he's just going for it. But you've had injuries. Sports injuries are weird. I'm not an athlete. When I tore my calf muscle, when you basically recovered from rehab, there were certain times where you did physical activity and you felt it. You just didn't feel comfortable. So I'm not making any excuse. But here we go, dude. This could be his watershed moment of his career when you basically say, listen, buddy, you're down 0-2. Could he rise up in the next 3 to 4 games and just start dropping 40 and just play out of his mind?
If he was healthy, and he's not healthy, and I'm tired.
I know. Okay.
The same thing every year.
I guess.
Okay. Flyers collapsed. Would have been better if they collapsed 2 weeks sooner, because maybe they would end up with a top 10 pick. Instead, they're going to have a middling pick. But I like the experience some of the young guys got down the stretch. Would have been nice for them to get in. And again, if you were going to blow it, you might as well have blown it 2 weeks prior. Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. They're awesome. I'm actually enjoying watching them, although I'd much rather be working in them. But they have been fun, the little bit I've watched the last couple nights. All right, we got to spread the love. And I hope we can do this appropriately. Like, this deserved its own podcast. Going to spread the love today, both of us, to Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox for their dedication to the Birds, being part of the only Super Bowl team in franchise history, and their outstanding careers. Both very durable players, both pillars, offensively and defensively, respectively, for the Birds. Can't say enough good things about them. Fletcher Cox at times was maligned, effort or a couple of down seasons in there, because he set the bar so high, quite frankly. He had that Aaron Donald type comparison going, right? I feel bad for Fletcher Cox because he retires, you know, and it's overshadowed by Kelce. But Fletcher Cox, thank you for all that you did for the Birds. What a dog, what a competitor. At times, the best defensive player, best D lineman in the NFL. I think you could argue for a year or two stretch there. And he had a great year his last year, so I'm glad he's going out on top. And as for Jason Kelce and that speech and that moment or that 45 minutes, man, I was just praying he would get through it, because early on he was struggling and it was hard to listen to. I just wanted to scream because I wanted him to be able to get through it. It was hard for him. But then he got going and he delivered an unbelievable speech, a message in there, not only about Philadelphia and what this city's all about, I think he said that perfectly, but just about his career and his timeline and all the people that helped him along the way. I thought it was an excellent job summing up his career. It's essentially a Hall of Fame speech wrapped up into a retirement speech. So Canton in a few years should be great. I'm sure he'll put on a show there. But this guy in the community, becoming part of our city, becoming a fabric piece of, like, you know, the burbs and the city, and going to Jersey and drinking beers with people. Like, he's one of us, dude. He's literally one of us. This is all we ask for out of our athletes, is care about us, put in the hard work, and have some success. And literally, that's all that we ever ask for. And it's not even in that order necessarily, but he seemed to get it, especially as his career moved along. What a player. Absolute surefire Hall of Famer. The team is worse without him in a lot of different respects. I know we got to keep it brief here, so that's sort of my summary and just off the cuff on how I feel about both Kelce and Cox. Congratulations to both of them, both outstanding players, and hopefully both in the Pro Football Hall of Fame someday.
I'm like you, Joe. I'll start with Fletcher Cox. No one's ever going to forget, you know, one of his greatest sack celebrations. The army crawl is just legendary. You know, when he gets a sack.
I love it, dude. He starts the rifle out.
Yeah, I mean, that one's iconic. Such a great physical player, a kind of an unknown product. Now, Mississippi State, you look at their rich history. You know, there's a lot of colleges. You look at D-tackle U, man. Mississippi State's got to be up there. There's been some great ones. Chris Jones, Fletcher. I know there's a couple other that I'm missing. just a solid defensive lineman, just a pillar, you know, as a D tackle. The best thing about Fletcher is he could do many things. Like, he was great stuffing the run when you needed that stop, but him rushing the power passer at the D tackle. I mean, we can only dream and hope that Jordan Davis kind of figures out how to rush the passer at a D tackle. So, great career, well-deserving, kind of overshadowed, but you knew you could count on Fletcher. Like you said, I agree with you. It's nice to see that, you know, he had one good season. And it's kind of awesome, Joe, that we have seen two players that start and finish their careers in Philadelphia. We're kind of robbed with that with Brian Dawkins, why they let him go to Denver. You know, Joe Banner could go jump off the Ben Franklin, as far as I'm concerned. You know, not paying the guy who was severely underpaid his entire career.
I know it's a different sport. It's a great point. Look at Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, guys that
wrapped exactly
elsewhere.
Right.
And they weren't
right.
the same player. You know, you're right.
No.
You don't get it a lot in sports, but it's a great
point. You don't get it a lot. And then also the player also has to know, too. Like, you know what? I've done it all. Got a ring. I did this. I've made enough money in my career. Maybe I should just sit with you. So you got to give respect, you know, to the players that just do with one organization. And when it comes to Jason Kelsey, I'm going to be honest. When they drafted, knew nothing about him. You know, early on, it was like Andy Reid's, like last year, somebody wrote a sign that said, "Fire Andy." He drives across the street with Evan Mathis, and they try to rip down the sign, and they go on television. That's just disrespect to our coach. And he was a rookie. At the time, I'm like, rookie, shut your mouth. Okay, so early on, I was like, I think it's a little bold that he's just coming right in, because he doesn't know, as Philadelphia fans, that, you know, the message was just getting old with Andy. It was just time for a new start, new voice. But you know what? Kudos to this guy. The, you know, one of the greatest centers of all time, being undersized and going up against defensive mammoths that he had to face, like Aaron Donald. I mean, you hear Aaron Donald talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and Kelsey, and I mean, it's just when other players talk about how great that play, you hear LeSean McCoy, I don't know if you heard the interview, he said nobody realizes how great Jason Kelsey is. The fact that he got a ring, it sucks that he didn't get the second one against Kansas City. He just cared. He cared about the fans. He cares about the city. You know, he'll be a legend. He's staying in the area, so he's always going to be around. But nothing but, you know, health and happiness to him and his family moving forward. But, yeah, he is going to be surely missed.
All right, good stuff, Johnny Mead. Appreciate you, buddy. Again, everyone, thanks for listening. We got to run. But thanks for all the support. Go Sixers. Hopefully the Phils keep it up as well. It's the Brotherly Love Podcast. Till next time, thanks for listening. We'll see you.